Okay, and we can start again. We were just discussing some of the law and order issues in Leopoldville at the time, and you mentioned that the Nigerian UN troops were operating as the police force in Leopoldville. Is that correct? Yeah. But other than that, there was not a great deal of enforcement in terms of.
Can you imagine a country the size of one-third of the United States with absolutely no law and order except that provided by the UN? When you had the tragedy of the poor Italian aviators who got eaten, and that no one was ever brought to court. The Norman was killed. They never found out who did that. Congolese, picked in a similar instance just before independence. And the guy was sexually deranged. And shot an at me missionary who was in bed with his wife.
Mm.
And he was arrested, but then he got out with independence when they broke up the jails.
Oh, right.
And
this was the mutineers from the ANC?
I mean,
or just anyone? There was no...
And we think it's possible that that same man may have been the one that shot the American military attaché.
Oh, I see. But then there was no justice that... So was the UN then involved in trying to get personnel into certain areas where law and order could be reestablished?
Well, they had some units scattered throughout the country,
mm-hmm.
and moved to the big cities, and UN personnel,
mm-hmm.
and then they were bred up pretty thin.
Mm-hmm. Were there U.S. people involved in that as well, or only through the United Nations?
We could be involved,
uh-huh.
because if we were involved, the Soviets would want to come in on the same basis that we were there.
Right. Now, did the Soviets have representation in Leopoldville at the time that you were there?
No, they were thrown out.
They had been thrown out, right. And they did not come back?
No.
The operation took quite a long time, I think longer than they had initially anticipated. Were there things that the UN could have done to make things run better, or was the situation just such that it was impossible?
Well, we all felt the UN did a really remarkable job. For example, the communications department of the UN read the Boston Telegraph. The weather forecasting was all UN personnel. But medical felt there was UN, WHO, World Health Organization, got a group out there. The FAO got involved with agriculture,
mm-hmm.
etc. From all of Europe, there are some UN teachers out there.
Mm-hmm.
Or the UN would, there was a Swiss medical team, and the UN would help them. What's
mm-hmm.
about being a member of the UN?
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't serve in that. But again, very close. time.
So in your opinion, how was the quality of the UN people that were involved in the conference?
By and large, remarkable.
Really?
Some weak characters, barely have many have them.
Yeah, right.
By and large, I'm very remarkable. Dedicated. Brave.
Okay, well, there's... are there any other kinds of issues or comments that you'd like to make? You were in Leopoldville until what time did you go back to?
1956.
Oh, I see. But you went back to Washington for a portion of time in there. When were you back in Washington?
62 to 64.
62 to 64, you were back in Washington and then returned to the Congo. So on your return to the Congo, did you see an improvement in the law and order situation and the running of the government? And were Congolese moved into the positions in any better way?
No.
Not really.
I mean, really, the one thing I did end up being is basically very badly African. I mean, they didn't have a clue about a running place. The only thing they were interested in was money. Mm. And that reality was just incredible. But now, of course, it's really a tragedy. Mm-hmm. We saw that article in the New York Times 4 days ago about Mobutu.
Yes.
Right. And, I mean, everything that people are were sold. And the tragedy, of course, is we were against graft. We also were for budgetary control.
Mm-hmm.
Your biggest element in a budget, in a newly emerging state, is salaries.
Mm-hmm.
So we would keep the salaries down. But then you'd have the poor policemen on the news getting the equivalent of $5 a month or $10 a month, where the salary might buy enough food for one or two people. But we'd have 5 or 6 kids.
Yeah.
And maybe take some bribe. Yeah, it's sort of a terrible.
So there was a problem with corruption.
Well, all over the place.
Uh-huh.
All over the place. More expensive, higher than God.
Yeah, yeah. What about the educational level of the Congolese?
Contrary to most people's impressions, the Belgians had the broadest base of education of any colonial power in Africa.
Really?
But they just went up through the 4th or 5th grade.
Oh.
But there was a higher rate of literacy in the Congo than in any other African country. But they never got up. In the army, for example, there were 6 black sergeants. That was all. The British, the French, other colonial powers, bad native officers. The French even had their colonials who'd been obsessed here, and that fire educated the British too.
Mm-hmm. Was the U.S. involved then in trying to improve the educational system or educational level?
Very much so. And, for example, President Eisenhower gave as a independence present to the Congo. I forgot how many, but many hundreds, if not thousands, of scholarships to American universities.
Mm-hmm. To bring the Congolese to study in the United States.
Right. Mm-hmm. They're bringing them over as freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
But high school students did. And I changed all that because It was counterproductive in that the young Africans would come here. They'd get involved in our racial problems. They would get involved with American girls. And some of them would marry these poor girls. And they'd go back to the Congo. And they'd go out and live in a mud hut with mother-in-law who's ruling the roots. Mm-hmm. And they're tragic. Mm-hmm. So what we did, we still had some scholarships left over. And we made it just for postgraduates. Mm-hmm. People who already had a college education. Mm-hmm. Hopefully were married. Met with families in the Congo. Mm-hmm. And there we had better luck. Mm-hmm. And also, where they knew where they wanted to go. They wanted to go to MIT to study under Professor so-and-so, or mm-hmm. Yale to study under Dr. Lech and such. And so that worked better. Mm-hmm. These other kids come over, they'd be lost.
Yeah, yeah. So then did some of these become a part of the Congolese leadership within the government?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So by the time the United Nations left, which was in about June of 1964, were things...
later than that one. I thought, well, they were greatly reduced in size and budget.
Uh-huh.
But then I thought they were still there when I left in 66.
And when while you were there through 66, there were still some UN presence there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I think probably still some UN presence today.
Mm-hmm.
WHO or FAO or mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But in 65 and 66, while you were still there, had things in Leopoldville at least calmed down in terms of law and order? No, it's
well, I mean, it wasn't as bad as 1950.
Uh-huh.
But there weren't many honest policemen. There weren't, even today, there isn't much.
Yeah.
We have policing. Security.
Yeah. Well, at one point I had heard of an incident that happened after actually UN forces had been removed around in the Stanleyville area. There had been another kind of uprising in which foreigners had been attacked.
Zanga, yeah. The Zanga Civil War. Mm-hmm. And the airdrop.
Yes, yeah. Were you involved at all in planning
very
the airdrop?
Much so.
What? How?
There
how did
again,
that?
There's a very good thing that's been published.
Uh-huh.
By a military man.
Mm-hmm.
That again, if you're interested, you ought to get them.
Yes.
But Dragon Rouge was the code word for the airdrop.
What was the code word?
Dragon Rouge, Red Dragon.
Red Dragon or Dragon Rouge. Okay.
And there's been a lot written, both in Belgium and in this country,
uh-huh.
by the military.
Yeah, yeah. So what was your involvement in planning that? What were the circumstances around the airlift?
Well,
were you in the Congo at the time, or you were in the Congo at that time?
Well, very much. I mean, we're involved in the planning. We're involved in the military planning. We supply the airlift. The Belgians supply the troops.
Uh-huh.
And there was we approved the plan, we disapproved it, we made recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I think I ought to mention, one of the primary concerns was security, and that involved the Army, and the my principal objective, I'd say that full time I was there, the number one thing we were trying to improve was the quality of the Congolese army.
Improving the quality of the Congolese army.
Which was a very, very difficult thing to do.
Mm.
And you had these Congolese officers, most of whom were trash, and no idea what being an officer meant.
Mm-hmm.
And you kept trying to improve their quality.
Mm-hmm. And how would you go about trying to improve their quality?
Sending them to school.
Military schools.
Sending some Americans out there to conduct classes.
Oh, okay. They would conduct the classes in the Congo?
There were a few.
Uh-huh.
And principally schools in the United States. But trying to get good candidates
uh-huh.
for those schools. Which again was different.
So were some Congolese military officers brought here to study here with the in the military schools here, and then sent back?
They were trying to get other countries
uh-huh.
to do the same.
Uh-huh.
The Italians had an air mission there, and they were training Congolese airmen.
Mm.
The Israelis were training parachutists.
Uh-huh.
Training some officers in Israel.
Uh-huh.
Yes, no. We all agreed that getting a respectable military establishment was one of the major objectives.
Right, right. But at the time of the airlift, you didn't feel that the Congolese army was capable of conducting that? No.
I mean, you can't imagine how awful the Congolese soldiers were.
So they did not offer protection for the foreigners that were still living there. So were many foreigners then taken out of the Congo at that time, the airlift?
No. Well, some were wounded and they were taken out.
Mm-hmm.
No more than other times.
Oh, no more than at any other time.
Mm.
So,
but of course, there were about 50 who were wounded. They were taken out of it.
Oh. So they were, the wounded were taken out.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And well, unless there's anything more that you'd like to add, I think that we've pretty much covered what we've
done. Let me the next, let me get some ideas.
Okay. Well, Ambassador Godley, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to share your experiences with us, and a transcript will be made of the interview, and we will be sending that to you as soon as we have that ready. So thank you again.